Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here with a little bit of a cold today, so my voice sounds a little more Carl Schmidt-like, that nice deep voice that he's got, but never as good as his. But anyway, it's a little deeper, and hopefully I won't lose my voice as I talk today with Frank Armstrong. And you have a chance to ask him some questions. He's founder of the investment advisor firm Investor Solutions, Inc., co-author with Paul Brown of Save Your Retirement, What to Do If You Haven't Saved Enough, or If Your Investments Were Devastated by the Market Meltdown, published by FT Press. Great to have him with us today to talk about investments and to talk about your retirement. And I hope you'll join in with your questions. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Frank's with us by phone. Frank Armstrong, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Great to be with you, Larry, and happy holidays to all of you and your listeners.
Yeah, and to you as well. Your shopping all done?
I think pretty much.
Good. That's one of the things. I guess, I don't know, I haven't seen much, but apparently people are spending more money this holiday season than last year anyway.
It's a little better. The reports are pretty positive. I didn't see huge overflowing crowds when I went out the two or three times I ventured out.
Yeah. Well, the goal here is for people to spend money, apparently, to get our economy running. But at the same time, people are a little more conservative, I think, than they were, say, a couple, 3 years ago, and are saving a little bit.
Well, absolutely. You know, beginning about 25 years ago, the nation went on a spending binge. We went from average savings rates from 8 to 10 to 12% down to minus 1 to 2% in 2008. Recently, it's come back a little, but, you know, word to the wise, if you want to help the economy, spend more. If you want to help yourself, save more.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're having this all these discussions about the retirement crisis. What we have is a savings crisis.
Yeah.
The system hasn't let us down so much as we have let ourselves down.
Yeah, we haven't saved. Well, back in 2005, you were asked by an MSN columnist to recommend a blend of investments designed to deliver the best returns with the least risk. And I think you warned that investors wouldn't find it using the conventional financial planning wisdom. Why is that?
Well, if I remember the article you're talking about, they asked me to put together a portfolio of Vanguard funds, which not all of which we would use here in our practice. We were restricted to publicly available funds. In any event, the comment is that you know, the typical investment portfolio is heavily weighted, maybe 80% or so, in the S&P 500 large company domestic stocks. And that's probably not the place where you'll get the best return for the unit of risk you're likely to take. We heavily overweight small and value stocks on a global basis here. The other thing that we were trying to point out is that most people grossly underweight foreign stocks, and that doesn't make a lot of sense either. I can demonstrate in a number of different ways that increasing the percentage of foreign stocks up to at least half reduces the risk and increases the rate of return in the portfolio. But that's sort of outside the conventional wisdom, and overweighting in small value and foreign is not something that most investors are prepared to do.
Yeah. Well, callers online to visit with you, so let's go to the phones. Mike in Milwaukee, we turn to you first. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I've got a 401k plan at work. They do not match funds at all anymore. I've got just a few thousand dollars in it, and I don't make a lot of money. I'm sure most of your callers are making $50,000 a year on up, because that's who uses this kind of services, I think. But I have no idea, is there any access for me to switch my 401k to a Roth IRA and without paying some professional a huge amount of money to do so?
That probably depends upon whether your 401k plan enables it, and most of them will not today directly. But next year, it's something that a lot of plans should begin to enable. It would be a great thing for many people, although you will have to pay the taxes on that as ordinary income.
No, but next year for sure, or possibly.
Oh, next year is next year for sure. You'll be able to do it if your plan allows it. Not all plans are going to allow it.
Okay, so you need to check back. Mike needs to check with his plan to see what's if they will allow it.
That's right. Probably that won't happen until next year at the earliest.
And then can he do this himself?
Sure. You just plan. You talk to your plan administrator and arrange it. You don't need a professional to do that. You may want to look at some of the various calculators about whether that works out well in your particular situation. I think my site, investorsolutions.com, has a regular to Roth conversion exercise that you could go through there that might help you. It should be a great thing for those people who are allowed to do it and for whom it fits.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go, Mike.
Great, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@WPR.org. Let's turn to Ruth in Madison next. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. Thank you for this program. Now, I am already retired, but when I entered the workforce back in 1971, we were, the typical advice would be to build a three-legged stool for your retirement. The one leg was Social Security, and that was just for absolute desperation, to make sure that you always had a little something. The second leg was a pension, and the third leg was your personal savings. Now, your personal savings were supposed to be for those little extras or for the times when your pension and Social Security together weren't enough, like if you wanted to take that vacation or you had extraordinary expenses, then you would dip into that the personal savings. But now anymore, companies and even states and governments are starting to either not offer pensions or rumble about not offering pensions. Now, with a pension, you would essentially pool your retirement with all the other people from that organization, and you couldn't outlive your pension most of the time. You didn't actually own your money, so even though you had money set aside, if you died before you spent down the principal and everything, then your heirs would not get that because
sure.
Because anyone who did outlive their pension could then use that same money to have enough and always be assured of having enough. Now, without that leg of the pension for most people, what are people supposed to do to ensure that they don't outlive their money in retirement?
All right.
Well, I think the 401k system has replaced the traditional pension plan. It's vastly underused by Americans, and IRAs, both Roth and regular, are vastly underused. And those are two really great ways to save for retirement to make up for the disappearing traditional pension plan. But again, it shifts most of the responsibility to the participant. In my father's time, it was only necessary to show up fairly regularly and fairly sober for 30 years, at the end of which they gave you a gold watch, a pat on the back, and a lifetime guaranteed income. Now the worker is responsible for generating all or most of that, and so you have to everybody has to take responsibility for it. It's either a sink or swim environment. You either do it, or it's unlikely anybody else is going to do it for you.
And you have talked often about Frank about getting started as early as possible, as young an age as possible.
Sure, the earlier you start, the more. Time is on your side. The longer you have to make accumulations, and the less total money you personally will have to invest, and the more total money will come from increased earnings on that which you did invest. If you wait too long, you get to a point where you'll never accumulate enough. If you start early, it's basically small change.
Yeah.
The caveat to that is that you need to clean up your personal debts. You know, credit card debt is just plain ugly, and there's no way you can project an earning higher than it's costing you to carry a credit card balance.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Ruth, for calling. Appreciate it. Teresa in Duluth, on to you. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. Thanks. This is great. I'm driving through Wisconsin this afternoon listening to your program, so I'd like to ask a question and hang up if I can.
Sure.
Just to piggyback on that earlier caller, I have a 401k that I just contribute to on my own, and every month I put in, I don't know, $100, I think, automatically. But since I'm paying taxes on that, should I have that in a Roth? And I did just turn 50. I don't know if that makes a difference.
Okay, if you're making traditional contributions to a 401k, you're not paying tax on it. It's money that doesn't get taxed. You could switch to a Roth, and you would pay taxes, and you'll have to determine based on your present and future tax calculations which would be better for you. But if you're only contributing $100 a month, I would suggest you not plan to be retired very long. You really need to do what you can to increase your savings, either through the 401k or through a combination of IRAs and personal savings.
Yeah.
So when you say it's post-taxed or pre-taxed, I mean, this is just money that I'm pulling out of my checking account to give to the 401k. So, like, I've paid payroll tax and that type of thing on it, but that's a different type of tax?
No, if you're making contributions to a 401k, traditionally they're tax deductible. You don't pay income tax on that money that you're contributing.
Oh, okay. It's about income tax. Okay.
All right, there you go. Thank you for calling. Molly in Duluth, Minnesota. On to you now. Hi, Molly.
Hi. Well, it seems like we all have the same kind of questions, but I was just wondering if you could explain. I have the 401k. It's actually a 403b and that I contribute to regularly. But this year I decided to just take a certain amount out of my savings and buy a Roth. And I was just going to leave that there and just stick with the 403b. And I was just wondering if you could just kind of give some advice on do you prefer one over the other or both, or
what are the merits of each, you're asking?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know, we come across a number of 403b and 401k plans that are so bad, employees are well advised not to contribute their own money. On the other hand, some of the plans are so good, you could never match it through a private plan. The merits of doing an IRA are that you totally control the investment mix and the costs. You could go to Vanguard and buy a family of their index funds for probably less than 0.3% per year total cost to run those funds, as opposed to sometimes you'll see total costs that you're paying inside a 401k or 403b that run 2.8 or 3.25% per year, which doesn't make any economic sense at all for the participant. So you've got to value the value as an investment plan of your 401k, and if it doesn't measure up, then perhaps you're better off to do the IRA.
Is it pretty easy to figure out the cost on the 403B?
It's going to get easier under regulations that are proposed and existing next year to figure out what the costs are. But in the typical plan, especially if it's run by an insurance company or one of the fund families, a whole schoolhouse full of Philadelphia lawyers would have trouble getting inside what all the various costs are.
Okay.
It's obscure by design. And it's unfortunate, but there's a lot of Labor Department, Department of Labor interest in that issue, and we've got legislation, regulations, all kinds of guidance coming down that will help employers and employees figure out what those costs are. But it doesn't make you a better investor. You then have to take that knowledge and do something smart with it.
Yeah. Is this legislation you're talking about, is this kind of similar to the credit card legislation? That
No, mostly it's Department of Labor regulations that, okay. that are going to be effective next year. That's going to require a whole expanded disclosure to participants and to the plan sponsors. It's a very good thing, but again, it's not going to make the plans any better. It's just going to give people information to make the
right.
plans better.
Yeah. There you go, Molly. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Frank Armstrong, founder of the investment advisor firm Investor Solutions, Inc. from Coconut Grove, California, or Florida, excuse me, Coconut Grove, Florida. Our guest here as we talk investments and saving for your retirement. Larry Mueller here, Jim Packard, our producer, on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have an investment question, I hope you'll join in with it at 1-800-642-1234 or via email at talk@wpr.org. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Frank Armstrong. And Frank, we have a caller from Saukville, Wisconsin, next. Chris. Chris, hello. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I don't buy the argument that you should blame this all on the poor savings habits of our public. The problem is savings accounts back in the year when he grew up were paying 5.25% interest. They're now paying 0.25% interest. It's impossible to build up any savings in an account like that. Savings accounts have become absolutely useless.
Hmm. What do you think, Frank?
Well, I don't buy some of that. Yes, we're in a low interest rate environment, but stock investments have traditionally done very well, and a mixture of stocks and bonds makes a very good platform to help you to increase your retirement nest egg. But the fact is, we've still gone from in about 1975. We had savings rates of 10-12%. By 2008, they were minus 2%. And if people don't save, it doesn't matter how you invest it. the fact is, people aren't saving. And if you don't save, you're not going to have anything. And yes, interest rates are low, but there's all kinds of alternative investments that can be conservatively employed to build your nest egg.
So you were not talking about saving only as in putting it in the bank, but saving it through other investments.
No, of course not. The bank accounts are guaranteed by the federal government, but an implied guarantee or embedded in that is a guarantee it's never going to grow, no matter what the nominal interest rate is. It's never going to grow in real terms to help you hedge inflation or build your nest egg. You'll have the satisfaction of not watching it go up and down in value, but it's almost a guarantee that it's not going to be enough to meet your needs.
Yeah. Cheryl in Appleton, your turn now. Dave in Fargo, Minnesota, we go to you next. I'm sorry. Cheryl, we'll get to you in a second. First, Dave. Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you? So I was just wondering, is there a rule of thumb on how much to set aside or put into your 401k? For example, I read where it might be best just to put in as much to maximize your company's match. Any rule of thumb on that thought?
Again, it comes back to how good the plan is. In some plans, it's going to be the most economical and effective investment program that you could aspire to. Others are so horrible they're not worth the powder to blow them up. Typically, you do want to get enough to get the match, but thereafter, the rule of thumb is typically most investment advisors or financial planners would tell you if you're not saving at least 15% of your pre-tax income, don't plan to be very retired very long because you're not going to have enough funds.
Hmm.
And all that presumes that you invest reasonably wisely along the way.
All right. There you go. Thank you for calling, Dave. Now let's go to Cheryl in Appleton. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
My question is, I am retired, and I have an IRA. I rolled over my 401k, and I'm invested in a Vanguard fund, a stock fund, index fund, the bond index or bond fund, and international. And I'll be taking, say, a $20,000 payout this next year. And I want to know, should I set up a money market fund also within there to have the dividends go into the money market and then just draw from that?
Okay, is this a required distribution?
No, it is not.
Okay, why are you taking the money out?
Because I am not yet getting Social Security, and I want to maximize my income at the 15% level.
Hmm. Okay, well, that all makes sense. I would take then the money out put it into a Vanguard money market fund and spend it then as you need it. I wouldn't take any more out than I needed to spend. I wouldn't
right.
just take it out with an objective of maximizing how much I can get out without paying the higher tax rate. But if you need it to spend, then you could move it monthly or you could move it annually into a check writing money market fund and disperse it that way.
Okay, thank you.
It's just a matter of convenience for you.
Yeah. Thanks, Cheryl. Jim in Turtle Lake, on to you now. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I'm 55 years old. I've been a Teamster for 37 years. I'm in the Central States Pension. We've had some problems with that. UPS pulled out. Yellow Freight was in trouble, so they didn't have to pay for a while. Some of my coworkers have taken their 30 out and run with it. I've got kids in college. I can't really retire yet or to pull my pension. I wonder how worried should I be that that'll be there when I am ready.
I can't speak to that fund. You know, historically, that fund caused a lot of interest in Washington, and as much as anything drove the Pension Reform Act, the so-called ERISA in 1974, there was a lot of mischief going on in the old days. I hope that's all been cleared up. I know they certainly got enough attention, but I cannot speak to the solvency or integrity of the fund. You'll have to get someone to spend some time looking at that.
Yeah, take a look at it. Yeah. So, but it's probably a good idea to do that, wouldn't you say, Frank?
It's always a good idea. You know, I presume that it's probably pretty well run today. But I presumptions are presumptuous of me. You got to do your own due diligence.
All right, there you go, Jim. Have somebody take a look at the specifics on that. Bill in La Crosse, on to you now. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Good to talk to you. See, my situation is that I'm past 70 and a half and have to take our required minimum distributions. And those are all coming right at this present time here in late December. And I'm trying to find a proper place to put that cash that's coming due because I know that CDs and money markets are paying almost nothing now. So do you have any suggestions on that score?
So you don't need it to say or to spend. You want to reinvest it.
That's correct.
Well, many plans will allow you to withdraw the assets in kind. In other words, suppose you're in a Vanguard growth fund of some kind inside your plan. Instead of liquidating that and taking it out and reinvesting it, you could ask them to transfer shares to you, then you'll have to pay tax on the value of the shares, but you don't have to liquidate it and reinvest it.
Well, I have to take the distributions.
You must take the distribution, but you can take the distribution in shares of funds.
Put it back into the fund, yeah.
No, you don't even have to take them. You don't have to take them out and put them back in. You can just ask them to transfer shares of the fund into an account for yourself. We do that all the time for clients that are forced to take distributions who don't need to spend the money now.
Okay.
So it saves you the transaction costs and everything else. You still have to pay tax. You have to make the distribution.
And have to pay the tax.
And you have to pay the tax, but the distribution can be in shares rather than cash.
Okay.
That's an administrative convenience for you.
Right.
It'd probably save you some transaction costs.
Okay, that's probably a good thought. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Gary emailed us and was talking about last Sunday's 60 Minutes program that focused on the looming debt facing states and municipalities across the country. Wonders, do you expect that Vanguard's government Ginnie Mae fund and total bond market index will get hammered?
Those aren't municipal bonds. I think anybody anybody who's looking at interest rates at today's rates and thinking they're going to continue ought to have a strong reason to believe that, because most of us believe interest rates are going to go up, and maybe we've already seen that start to happen. The total bond index and the Ginnie Mae index are the Ginnie Mae is underwritten by the United States government. That's a Treasury obligation, and the total bond index is commercial bonds. They're not. I do think that a lot of states are going to have a lot of trouble having made promises they can never keep, and having current budget problems. That makes me pretty nervous. The two are distinct.
Okay, there we go. And Safi and Waukesha, it's your turn next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a question, please. I don't have long employment in this country, about 20 to 25 years, and I started aggressively last 10 years putting in 401k with the catch-up program. When I retire in 4 years, would I be able to withdraw amount to equalize my income to the current situation? And do I have to pay taxes on it? And if I die, I still have some amount of money there. Would my kids can my kids inherit it, or do we have to pay taxes on it?
Okay, first of all, if you die, your kids inherit 100% of your account or whoever is your named beneficiary. So that's not an issue. I can't tell you how much income you'll have.
Not how much. Can I withdraw monthly to just make it equal to my income now, sustain the same standard of living?
Absolutely. That's a question on how successful you are at investing between now and then.
I invest in a very conservative, the average in the government, so I can. I didn't suffer much loss last 2 years.
Well, but that may not provide you the long-term growth you need. You might want to look at a more balanced growth and conservative portfolio, because it should have a longer, a higher rate of return over the long haul. But whatever the accumulation is when you retire, you can withdraw any amount you care to. But your problem is you've got to spread that nest egg out over the rest of your life. And most of us believe that you shouldn't withdraw more than 4 or 5% at the most from that nest egg every year in order to meet your needs, or else you run a real risk that you're going to run out of money before you run out of time.
So you have to kind of figure out how much you're going to have at retirement, and due to your sort of given your savings now and so forth, and then 4 to 5% of that, is that multiply that out, and is that going to be enough? I guess that's the way to figure it.
Cost of living, this will be on a different. Do I need the advisor, financial advisor?
I think you could do a lot of this by going to calculators that are available online. Perhaps in your the people who supply your 401k have calculators. There are calculators on my website that will help you. You have two problems. Number one, you must invest wisely between now and then and get a high enough rate of return to build your nest egg up. It sounds like you're investing very aggressively, and that's a good thing. And then you'll have to use that nest egg wisely over the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
There's a lot of free advice out there. But if the amounts are substantial and they're important to you, perhaps you should get an advisor to help you structure that.
Yeah, and your website, it's investorsolutions.com, is it not?
That's correct. We have over 75 calculators that will help people to make retirement planning decisions as well as other financial calculations, and several hundred articles about how to invest to maximize your rate of return at various limits of risk. It's all free, and I hope it's useful for your listeners.
Yeah, investorsolutions.com. Jeff in Eau Claire, we turn to you next. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Larry and guests. Thanks for the program. Merry Christmas to you both.
To you as well.
I have a question. Any information you could provide on the topic would be highly appreciated. If given the choice between investing in a 403B or a Roth IRA where the 403B doesn't have employer matching, which would be the wiser investment vehicle?
You can't, you know, there's no standard-ish answer for that. There's no average guy out there that I've ever come across. Depends on your tax situation, your situation today and post-retirement. It depends on the costs inside the 403B because, again, some of them are really great and some of them are horrible. And at the end of the day, both of those programs are simply investment programs. And you need to look at them as if they were investment programs and make sure you're controlling your costs and doing a decent job of investing. If you can't do either in the 403B, you're probably better off in an IRA. And then you still have the choice of whether, because of your unique tax situation, you want to be in the Roth or a regular IRA.
Yeah.
So you're suggesting that maybe talk to an investment advisor about what our best choice might be?
You know, if it's a substantial amount and it's important to you, you probably ought to get a good objective advice from the outside.
Okay, and that's going to be a fee-based advisor? Is that what I'm going to be looking for?
I would be looking for fee only, not somebody who does fees and commissions, but fee only.
Fee only.
You might want to get someone who works on an hourly basis to set this up, or if it's a large sum and you want continuous management, then they may want to act on a percentage of the assets under management. Either way, you get to decide what the level of service is and if the fee is appropriate for that level of service and what your needs are.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for the info. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, with your question at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. We'll get you on pretty quickly. Gary emailed wondering, what long-term net of inflation return is appropriate for planning purposes, assuming a 50-50 stock fixed income portfolio?
Okay, if we look back to 1926, which is where the really good data starts, the stock market returned about 10-11%. The bond market, the commercial bond market, has returned about 4-5%, depending on the duration of those bonds. So if you're a 50-50, then, you know, my best guess, and it's only a guess, would be 7-8%. Now, you know, we can all meet 30 years from now and see how good that guess was. But that's a pretty good ballpark.
Okay, about 7%. Bill in Green Bay, on to you. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Just a couple of comments. You had a question regarding the amount of withdrawal and what kind of tables you can turn to. I built my own, and I built in a 3.8% inflation factor before making a 4% withdrawal. Second thought was on an IRA, whether it's Roth or not, if you got matching on the traditional, I'd take the traditional, and then if you can make withdrawals, roll it into the Roth periodically. Right now, I roll in what I can till I get to the bottom of the next tax bracket, and I just keep rolling that in every year and pay the taxes on that amount. And so it's just those comments. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Good ideas, Frank?
Yes, well, if you're going to build an inflation assumption into your withdrawal schedule, it's the same as withdrawing more than the 4%. And maybe that's a fair withdrawal schedule, or maybe not. You know, but it is, yes, it is probably a good planning practice to plan for inflation. We would handle that by saying, okay, if you withdraw a flat 4% of your balance each year, or smooth that out some, as the balance grows, your income could grow, and hopefully that will hedge inflation. It's a somewhat simpler calculation to make, and easier to both administer and understand.
Yeah.
But whenever you make an inflation assumption on top of a fixed withdrawal amount, you're withdrawing more money, and at some point, you may not be able to tolerate that, or your investment account may not be able to tolerate it.
Alex in Madison, on to you now. Hi, Alex.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm at the beginning of the process. I'm a 25-year-old graduate student, and I have about $100 a month that I could put aside, but I really don't know what to do with it. And I also would like it to be somewhat available if I need it, because I don't have much savings. And I was wondering if you have any suggestions.
Well, if you're employed, you can put it in a Roth IRA, and you can always take your principal out. If you're not employed, just take it to Vanguard and buy some of their funds, and then you can take out anything you like.
Okay.
The only downside of putting it in a Vanguard is that you'll have, in an index fund, you'll have some small distributions for income and capital gains to pay along the way. But nobody tells you when you can take it in or out, and you don't have to deal with any government bureaucrats. But, you know, as you go on in your career, you want to step up that savings as soon as you can after you get your student loans and stuff under control, because the onus of planning your retirement is going to be up to you, and it's good you're looking at it at this age now.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck, Alex. Thank you. And Sean, in Northfield, Minnesota, your turn. Hi.
Hi, thanks a lot for hearing from me today. Basically, my question is, I'm currently 23 years of age, and I have the capacity to save about $15,000 to $20,000 per year. I'm currently putting about half of that into retirement, and in a few years I hope to maybe buy a house, or another possible investment would be apartment buildings. I'm wondering if I'm investing a little too aggressively into my retirement fund at this age, and I should be possibly saving money into more liquid assets.
That's a personal decision. That's good you're saving. But, you know, that the retirement fund, if it's a well-run fund, that'll be something that you'll appreciate years from now down the road. Your decision as to how to allocate your savings between buying a house or whatever else and retirement is a personal decision. But if you don't save enough for retirement, then don't plan on being retired very long.
Well, there you go.
And now is the time to be salting that away, because you got a lot of time for that to grow for you, to hedge inflation and have real increase in wealth.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. You guys have a great holiday.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Sean. And Angie in Delafield. Hi, Angie.
Hi. I have taught myself a little bit about stock investing over time, and I've been pretty successful with that. But I don't know anything about bonds, and I just was wondering, where would I go to find out how bonds work and how to invest in bonds?
Okay, well, the difference between stocks and bonds is stocks you own part of the company, and bonds you just own a debt of the company, or a debt from the government. I would start by going to Vanguard's site, and they have a lot of tremendously good educational information. You can Google some stuff on bonds and how they work. The historical returns of bonds are somewhat less than stocks, but especially if you keep the duration short and the quality high, the volatility, the amount that they go up and down in a particular year, is much less also.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling. And, Frank, boy, the time flew. Thank you so much.
The questions came fast and furious, but it was fun. Again, let me wish you and all of your listeners a great holiday season.
To you as well. Thanks, Frank. Frank Armstrong of Coconut Grove, Florida, founder of the investment advisor firm Investor Solutions, Inc., and co-author with Paul Brown of Save for Your Retirement, What to Do If You Haven't Saved Enough or If Your Investments Were Devastated by the Market Meltdown. The website that he mentioned is Investor Solutions, with an S on the end, investorsolutions.com. And there is a lot of free information, very good information, on that website. So you might want to take a look at it. Tell you what. It's the season. It's the holiday season. Christmas is a couple days away. And, you know, whenever we get to this point of the year, I love to hear from Paul Novak. Paul is from Madison, noted bread maker, teacher, yoga instructor, and he will be with us today. In fact, I'm smelling some really great bread that he baked this morning, I'm sure, just before he got over here. We'll talk Yule Kaka and breads of the holiday season with Paul Novak next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.